So if you would, please turn to Mark chapter 15. I had studied and prayed because I had preached this message before in Sunday school, but I wasn't actually ready today. Pastor kind of like said this before service, and I'm actually kind of glad he did because based on everything that we've been singing and what Chris sang today, it kind of goes all along with my message. And I'm really glad that I know that God's working. I know I'm not the best preacher in the world. I probably won't do any better than him. So I'm just thankful that I can still say a couple of words. So Chris, if you would, please pray for the message.
Amen.
Amen. So before, I'm going to tell a little backstory of what we were doing today. I was at Michael Shane's house with Austin 2.0. We were playing Injustice 2 in Fortnite. And I thought it was funny because Michael Shane was telling Alex, "You're the best roommate I've ever had." And Alex's response was, "Michael Shane, you're the only roommate I've ever had that hasn't smoked pot." And that... bless my heart a little bit, because, you know, I know my youth pastor's doing right. Glad you guys are laughing. That really helps me out with the whole message. So we're going to be in Mark 15, verse 7. Says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." So here, this is the story of Jesus going to the cross, as you guys know. This is where salvation is starting to happen. He's starting to, the crucifixion is basically starting. And there's this character here who is named Barabbas. And I don't believe he's mentioned a whole lot more after this. He's kind of a character that, you know, every time I read this, it's kind of as if, like, I don't even know why he's really mentioned a whole lot, you know? It just seems like he's just another character thrown in there just to show that there was man versus Jesus and that it wasn't just they only hated Jesus. His name is Barabbas, and I started praying that God would show me why Barabbas is really here. And I started to, you know, put it piece by piece. And Jesus, he's sitting here. You know, I'm glad I'm not Jesus. I'm going to say that real quick. Because they're sitting here. Basically, Pilate says, what evil has he done? And they're saying, crucify him anyway, even though he hasn't done really any evil.
Right.
And I know that if I was Jesus, I would not take that. I probably use the powers that he has, I'd probably walk right off the stage, disappear from existence, never ever come back, and y'all would all be going to hell. I'm sorry about that. It's just the way I would be. I'm just going to keep it honest with you. But Jesus sits here silent because He understands the whole plan. He knew from the very beginning, I believe even when he was just 1 year old, he knew that he was eventually going to have to go to Calvary and suffer. And I'm just so glad that he did that. I started to realize that Barabbas is us. That's really who we are. You know, if you think about it, Jesus took Barabbas' place and he saved him. You know, I was reading this and it was almost as if Jesus had said to me, I love Barabbas. I love him. You know, that blessed me because, you know, even though I don't come from the worst background, you know, everyone knows Pastor's testimony where he was, you know, in a gang, different things like that. I don't come from a whole gang background, but I do still have a wicked background. You know, I was still a sinner on my way, lost to hell. And it was almost as if Jesus was sitting there without even me knowing him, telling as someone, I don't even know if he was, you know, telling exactly who, but I know he was telling someone, I love him. Amen. You know, I can just see him right now sitting there, probably Logan, I'd have to say, if anybody, because he was praying for me for a while for me to get saved. Amen. Before I ever did. He definitely was the one who showed me Christ. Amen. I could see him telling Logan, I love Bryce, and you know, I don't really understand why he would ever do that for us, but he loves us. He loved Barabbas so much that he took the beating, he took the nails, he took everything. You see here, Pilate, he's standing on this stage and he's thinking, I hold the destiny of these two men in my hands. You know, there's Jesus, Son of the Living God, the one who has done absolutely no wrong, the one who doesn't deserve anything. He's only ever healed, only ever restored. He's only ever, you know, rose someone from the dead. And then you have Barabbas, who it literally says committed murder in the insurrection. So you basically have someone who's reviving people and someone who's killing people. And I don't understand how the crowd can hate Jesus so much to where they would rather have someone who could backstab them in the end up killing them all. Versus someone who will only ever give them what they need in a hard time. Amen. We see, they say, crucify him. And Pilate follows up with, what evil has he done? And now it says they cried out more exceedingly, crucify him. But I believe just for a second in between there, when he said, what evil has he done, they all stopped and started thinking to themselves, what evil has he done? I believe Satan was all over that place trying to get them to say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, no matter what. But he just sat there silent. You know, he knew Pilate was right. You know, he was the only one who seemed to really understand, even just a little bit. But he eventually gave in. I believe they said, give us Barabbas. And Barabbas just walked off the stage once they had unchained him. And he just didn't even really care. You know, he just walked off. He probably didn't even know who Jesus was. Just walked off. Just lived life as if nothing had ever happened. As if he was never on death row. And, you know, there doesn't ever seem to really be any conscience in Barabbas. You know, he doesn't turn around and say, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. He thought it was more of the people that had set him free. He thought it was the people that loved him. Yeah. And he thought it was his own ego and, you know, him being him, all big bad Barabbas, decided that he could get out of it himself. And I can tell you right now, it wasn't Barabbas. It definitely wasn't Barabbas. It was the love of a heavenly father that let him go.
Scared me, Pastor.
They said, give us Barabbas. And Jesus just sat still because he loved him. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. Because he knew that he would have to treat Barabbas like Jesus so that he could treat Jesus like Barabbas. I said that backwards, but either way, basically, what I was trying to say was he had to treat Jesus like Barabbas to treat Barabbas like Jesus, because he let Barabbas go, and just live his life as if nothing had happened. But Jesus took Barabbas' place to go die on a cross. We would all be going to hell if God had just thought Barabbas wasn't worthy enough for us to, you know, just to be able to go to heaven. I believe that if it was anybody besides Barabbas, then he probably wouldn't have sent Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that if it was any one of us, he would have said, no, I'm going to let Jesus go. We'll keep waiting. I believe he picked Barabbas for the specific job because it's kind of like God calling people to do something. If he calls you to preach, he calls you to preach. He knows that's what you want to do. He knows that he can use you in a big way to do that. If he calls you to be an evangelist, to travel all around the world and preach, then that's what you ought to do because you're the man for the job. I remember just this past year, we were up in Pennsylvania, and I got to lead someone to the Lord there, and I didn't really think about it until now. I realized that if I wasn't there, they probably would have never gotten saved. I realized that God called me. He said, I'm the man for the job, and I know it sounds like I'm putting myself on, like, a pedestal and whatnot, but I was terrible at it. I'm going to be honest. I was all mixed up. I didn't know what to say. All I did was I took a leap out in faith, and someone ended up getting saved from it. It was really, it was a blessing for me. And, well, Barabbas, like I said, is just like all of us. We're just as bad as Barabbas. You know, even though not all of us have committed murder, we were still on our way to hell. And God said he loved us, and he sent his only son for us. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I realized that God loves us so much that even when we were at our very lowest, when we probably hated him at our most, when we just didn't want anything to do with him, he put his arm around us without even us knowing, saying, I love you. And I'm truly thankful for that. This is all about basically him loving a sinner. And preacher was talking about it this morning, how he said God loves sinners. He doesn't love the sin that they're doing, but he loves the sinners. I know for a fact God didn't like that Barabbas was going around killing people, but I knew that he loved Barabbas enough to send his son to be able to have eternal life and praise him and glorify him. We sing that song, can't think of what it's called right now, but I know it goes along the lines of that it wasn't that us that we should have been lifting up. It was his son that we should be lifting up, and that he sent his son so that we could spend all eternity to praise God. And that hit me. When I first heard that song, I started crying because I had realized that even though I was at camp and even though I was a Christian, you could say, I wasn't really praising God a whole lot. I was putting me in front of everything. You know, I said, you know, I praise the Lord. I do this. I do that. When it's more of God uses me to bless other people. I know I'm probably one of the worst people in the church to be up here behind this pulpit tonight. But yet he said that he loved me so much and that he wanted to use me, that maybe their just love is growing cold and that they just need a little bit of boost.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know, if your love is growing cold, there's not a whole lot you can really do besides cling to this Bible. I know that there's always going to be the valley that you're going to have to face, and that, you know, maybe you are going through a valley right now. There's nothing really you can do. You can pray. But the only thing you have to really do is just stick to this Bible. You have to cling to it. Because I know if you don't, you're going to grow out in the world just like so many other people have. I hate calling out people, but he's really been on my mind these past couple of weeks. Jacob, he was going through a real tough time. He said that he's had a lot of thoughts of depression. And he was going through a valley. And I realized that I asked him if he was reading his Bible, and he said he wasn't. And I realize that's why he's out right now. You know? It breaks my heart every single time I see him because I truly do miss him. Jacob was one of the people that I looked up to, you know, even though I'm younger than him and, you know, I probably shouldn't look up to him as much as I should look up to other people. He was someone that I realized that he really did love the Lord. He was a real person. He was real about it, but he still got out. His love grew cold. And I pray that your love doesn't ever go cold, because, you know, Jacob's so far out at this point. Earl, I just feel like he just thinks he's a lost cause at this point. And it breaks my heart. It really does. I don't know. I pray for him a lot. I've been doing everything I can. I try to talk to him. He's just at a real low place. And I started to realize that Jesus loved him so much that he's going to let him go through this trial. You know, I pray every day that he gets back in church. And if he ever does, he's going to start realizing that this was all a part of his plan to prove his love for him. God really does love you guys a whole lot. And I know a lot of times, you know, you can just be walking down, you know, just some old road, you know, going through the desert and just not thinking that God loves you a whole lot and that he's just left, just thinking that the glory has departed. But yet he's always just right there, and he always comes right on time. I love listening to that song, Right on Time. It really blesses me every time, because it talks about how they were laying Lazarus in a tomb, and they thought that it was going to be their last goodbye. But then coming right down on the road was Jesus, right on time. Amen. He rose him up from the grave, and it just blesses me every single time I hear it, because it makes me realize that even though I'm going through a hard time, even though, you know, I've been going through a lot of stuff, that he's always just going to be there right on time. Earlier in the year, for some of you guys who don't know, my older brother, he tried to kill himself. Ended pretty badly. He's still alive right now. He's still recovering. But he tried to kill himself, and that was a real hard time for me, because he was one person that I could definitely tell anything to. He was a guy who, even though he wasn't, you know, a Christian, even though he wasn't saved, I could just tell him all my problems, and he'd always have some way to fix it. Yeah. My second oldest brother, Jared, isn't really like that. He doesn't really understand as much as Tanner does, but Tanner just always could just understand stuff, and it broke my heart to think that he was going to just be gone, you know. It hurt for a while, and I really wanted to quit church. I really did. I thought that I was just another lost cause and that I just wasn't going to do anything. And throughout here, I started reading through this, and I started realizing that he loved Barabbas enough to die on the cross, and that he loves me enough to just get me through just whatever trial I need. Amen. He took Barabbas's place on the cross. He took the beating. He took everything just because he loved them so much. And it just blessed me. I started watching videos about Jesus dying on the cross, and you know what it might look like. I can still see it every single time I close my eyes. I can just see them nailing the nails into his hand, nailing it into his feet, putting the crown of thorns on his head, and it just reminds me every time just how much he loved me.
Amen.
And I want to thank him for loving me so much, because without his love, I would not be here right now.
Right.
I know I would probably be off doing some very worldly thing. I might have already killed a man by now. I don't know. I'm a little goofy. I'm sorry. But I just started thinking to myself, just how much do I love him? Because I started to realize how much he loves me. But when someone does something for me, I want to give back. I'm that type of person. And I started to realize and ask myself whether or not I actually do love God back. Because I know I can put it on in front of you guys. I can say, you know, I've been reading my Bible every day. You know, I've been praying for 50 minutes every day. And, you know, I could act like I've just been doing all that, but God knows my heart. He knows everything. And I can't fake it with him. I know once I get to heaven, He's going to sit there and he's going to make me look like a fool right in front of everybody in the world. He's going to say, I thought you loved me.
Yeah.
You told all these people how good I was, but you didn't really love me. And, you know, I started crying because I realized that my love wasn't where I wanted it to be. I've started praying every single day for a softer heart. I've been praying actually to get a soft heart like Miss Rachel, because every single time she sings and she cries, you know, like Gavin says, it embarrasses him. It makes me proud because I know my mom, my biological mom isn't in church, but she's kind of like my church mom. She really encourages me to go on, and I really do love the family that they have grown into. And I just love the way that they just treat everything just with Jesus about it. Jesus this, Jesus that. It's just so amazing. And I'm glad that they can, you know, I can go there if I ever need a place to go. I know that if I ever need anybody to lean on to, I can lean on to that family because I know Jesus is always with them. And it blesses me. But I've also been praying a lot for love. I've been praying specifically for love so abundantly that it overflows.
Amen.
Because Earl told me this once, and Pastor said it a couple weeks ago, that to be a good preacher, you have to love people.
That's right.
And I realized you can't love people before you start loving the Lord.
Amen.
And I know that I want my love to be just like Pastor's love, because I truly do believe he loves everybody with all his heart, with all his soul, with all the strength, everything he has. I truly do believe that he loves everybody. And I just wanted to ask you guys tonight if you do love him.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of people drop out of church, not just this one, just Christians that I know. They've just been dropping out, saying that they don't really like going to church anymore. And I was actually walking by a tree a couple of weeks ago, and I seen some leaves falling off. And it was almost as if the names of the people who I knew had just dropped out of church were written on those leaves, just falling down. And I started crying and weeping about it and praying to God, because he's just been so good to me and he loves me so much. He's kept me in. It'll be a year on the 18th of this month that I've been saved.
Amen.
And it really has gone by really quick. Didn't think I'd ever really be here by this year. Now, I was talking to Chris a couple of weeks ago, and when he had preached his message last week, I had really told him, I said, I want to be just like how you are, because he, like Pastor said, he never really ceases to amaze me. You know, even though he's so young, he's been with the Lord 5 years, he truly does love the Lord, and he's able to give a full-blown sermon that most preachers can't ever dream of preaching, because they only want money. They don't really want it like he does. And it's just blessed my heart. But I just want to ask you guys if you really do love the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Because that's important. You know, he's doing his half. He's doing his half by sending his son to the cross. You know, salvation's here. You can go to heaven if you want. You don't even have to love him. You just have to trust in him. But you'll be blessed abundantly if you love him. In the Old Testament, I believe, it says something along the lines of, if you give your whole life to the Lord, that's reasonable enough.
Yeah.
And Michael Shane said it, and it really hit me. He said, it's reasonable enough. He said, that's the bare minimum that you have to do. You have to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything you have. You just have to completely give your life to him. And that's just the bare minimum. You know, I started thinking about how there have been things that God has been saying, you know, get that out of your life. And I'll say, oh, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Just one more time, please. Or just a little bit more of this. And I started thinking about that message every time, and how he's just said, it's reasonable enough. It's just reasonable enough. And, you know, I want to ask you guys, I'm going to finish with this. Do you love him? Because if you don't, it's not reasonable enough.
Amen.
You're not even reaching bare minimum of your Christian life. You could be so much further in your Christian walk if you just give all your life for him. You know, I'm actually surprised. My nerves aren't really going a whole lot. I'm able to look up and talk to you guys. You know, normally I'm not able to. But I realized that these past couple of weeks, I haven't really been giving it all I have because wrestling has started. I've had my mind on a whole lot of other things. And I want to start giving back to him because it's reasonable enough.
Amen. Amen.
So I just want to pray that you guys can just start giving back to him, start loving him, you know, tithes, everything, whatever you can give, you know, just witnessing. You know, I was talking to Austin earlier, like a couple of minutes ago, because Pastor said, what do we have going on in January? And I said, well, we have passing out tracts, we have witnessing, we have street preaching. I started saying different stuff like that. And I started realizing that if you don't do that, you're not even reaching bare minimum.
Amen.
So always be trying to stay busy for the Lord and give your whole life to him just because it's reasonable enough.
Amen.
Jesse, if you would play something, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that.